to be the ball game. 6-5-4-3. They can't snap it. They can't stop it. They can't win it. Alabama wins the ball game.
Gary Thomas, linebacker, Alabama.
He was a nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Son, I got to do better than this.
Lights out.
Back in the cornerback, it's just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football! Let's play some football!
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourself on the field like when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season, and they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there, good morning, and welcome into Off the Edge right here on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. Joe Gaither, Hunter Brantley, and Mason Woods all hanging out in the studio with you guys for the next hour. We'll be with you setting up the Jay Barker Show, and then our friend Ryan Fowler on the game 2 until 6. So keep it locked into Tide 100.9 for all day live and local sports talk. Hope you guys had a happy and wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Oh, man, looking at some of the faces around Tide 100.9, it looks like we could have used an extra day. This is our Tuesday day to recover, and maybe you're in the same boat. But if not, I hope you're back at it at work and ready for another fun week. We want to recap the weekend here on Off the Edge since everybody was off on Monday. We want to recap the weekend and get into several little sports topics today. But before we do, I want to remind you that the show is brought to you by Alabama Vintage. Alabama Vintage on University Boulevard, right there in the downtown area with the green awning. Charlie will hook you up with Alabama shirts, hats, jackets, all kinds of memorabilia that you would love to find. You can't really always find it online, that hard to find gear. Charlie's got you at Alabama Vintage. You can call in on the Alabama Vintage hotline at 205-342-9904. If you want to jump in and be a part of any of the conversations that we're going to have today, we're going to have several little topics bouncing around and having some fun today. But I think the best place, the most relevant place, the most important place to start is with the Alabama baseball team. The Crimson Tide went up to Hoover this weekend and ended up finishing 2-2. Got two big wins over the Georgia Bulldogs and then over the Arkansas Razorbacks. Unfortunately, fell on Friday night and Saturday morning to Texas A&M and the Florida Gators, and subsequently ended their season on Saturday. The Crimson Tide left out of the field of the NCAA tournament, not invited to a regional. There was some speculation that the win over Arkansas would have put them into the tournament. But if you looked around the rest of the rest of the college baseball world, bids were being stolen left and right. And it looked like, in hindsight, Alabama might have had to win the whole dang tournament to get into the NCAA tournament. So we'll get into that. You know, obviously, it's a little bit of a disappointment for the Crimson Tide, having made the Ruston Regional last season. You know, the Alabama taking a slight step back in the program just based off accomplishments this year. But a lot of circumstances to consider, Hunter Brantley. A lot of circumstances that hindered this Alabama baseball team on the injury front, namely the number one starting pitcher, Connor Prelip, not pitching a single pitch for the Crimson Tide due to his Tommy John recovery. And then we had, you know, obviously you saw the capabilities of Ben Hess on what, Wednesday afternoon? Tuesday afternoon, striking out 10 batters against the Georgia Bulldogs. But Ben Hess, not really full strength available all season long. We all remember what William Hamader broke his foot.
Against Texas.
Yeah, so we had a lot of injuries that hindered the Crimson Tide this year. And on top of that, 8-5 in midweek games. You can't be losing to North Alabama and expect to get into the NCAA tournament. Overall, though, a fun season, a good season, a lot to continue to build on. A lot of guys made great improvements. You'll see Andrew Pinckney probably get drafted. You'll see you'll see probably Garrett McMillan, local kid.
Drew Williamson.
A lot of guys will probably be up for the MLB draft. It'll be interesting to see what decisions they make. So, Hunter, what were your takeaways from Alabama up in Hoover? We'll just keep it locked into just the Hoover four games, the SEC tournament performance for Alabama.
I thought we did all right. You know, it was kind of disappointing. Couldn't go further than what we did. Pitching is a little inconsistent. We were up 5-1, I think, against A&M. And
then
6-1. 6-1, I'm sorry. And
oh, you're great.
I thought we were going to put G-Mac in and let him shut it down, I think, in the sixth inning. Didn't do it. Had to come back against Florida. And I think we were in the game for most of it. G-Mac pitched. He was hit and miss a little bit. Gave up a four spot in the first inning, but the bats came back, and Drew Williamson hit a home run, got it to 7-6, and then wheels just fell off. Three-run home run that Twan John gave up, and then we didn't do enough in the regular season. Like you said, can't be getting swept by UAB and teams like that. Woo. And expect to make it, make the NCAA tournament. So disappointing for sure. I don't know what the future holds for Brad Bohannon, but I think he did an okay job considering the circumstances and all, and the talent he's dealing with. I'd like to see him come back for another year. I don't know about you, though.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if he's not back for the 23 season. I think that he's continually been building the program. Now, some of the issues that played the program this year outside of the injuries, poor play out of the bullpen, which kind of reared its ugly head on the Friday night against A&M. And I wondered, you know, I should have asked this in the press conference, but I'll own it. I didn't have enough balls to raise my hand and ask it. I wondered if Coach Bohannon and Jason Jackson, the pitching coach, were making some of their decisions off the bullpen based off playing another game the next day. You talk about maybe bringing G-Mac into the game. Now he's a starter, so you're probably trying to save him for that Friday game. Obviously, if they had won Friday morning, they'd come back and played if they had won Saturday morning, they would have played later in that Saturday day. Mm-hmm. So it would have been a doubleheader like the Florida Gators had. And so I wondered if some of those pitching decisions were influenced by a remainder of a tournament to be played instead of kind of going all out. Now, Alabama had some bullpen issues all year long. And not only that, Alabama had some scoring issues all year long. You look at what happened in the SEC tournament. You put up five runs against Georgia in the first two innings, and then pretty much nothing after that. You put up six runs against A&M in the first three or four innings, and then what, two runs after that. So really struggling to score after the fourth and fifth inning for the Crimson Tide this past weekend, and really as a whole for the season.
Yeah, I agree with you. Drew Williamson seemed like he was the only one that, when he came up, he had a chance to go yard. Owen Diodati was the
We need some boppers, man.
I know. We need somebody that can, when he comes up, he's a threat to hit it out of the park every time. When we didn't have that. We just don't got it. People said Owen Diodati was going to be that guy. I see he's transferring now. He didn't have the season he had hoped for. But outside of Drew Williamson and Zane Denton, that's the only two guys I can think of that when they come up, okay, they got a good chance of hitting it out of the park and changing the game. And you got to have more than that in the SEC. It's a loaded conference, and you're not going to get it done with just two guys that you can rely on in the lineup.
Yeah, you need some boppers, and really Alabama didn't quite have that throughout the lineup. You hit on Owen Diodati. If you didn't see it earlier today, Owen Diodati, per our friend Charlie Potter, has entered the transfer portal. If you were a part of the Alabama baseball space last night on Twitter, you would have already known that maybe, you know, Alabama was looking at a big roster turnover. The Crimson Tide probably losing, you know, 15 or so guys to different decisions. Obviously, with baseball, there's a number of different decisions you can make: declaring for the draft, transferring out, graduation, and being done. Alabama baseball looking at a big roster turnover. But don't be alarmed; it'll be the same sort of situation as basketball with the transfer portal being alive and well. Alabama baseball, you know, will be able to utilize some of this turnover and maybe bring in some of those big old bats.
For sure, 100%. I don't know who's in the portal yet. It's too early to tell. We still got the NCAA tournament.
Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa, yeah. Ken Griffey Jr.
A-Rod, yeah, Chipper Jones. I don't know if he has any of those guys got college eligibility left, but we'll take you. Chipper, if you're listening, come on down to the capstone.
So what you make about the Tennessee Terrorists winning the SEC tournament? Got to give a little shout-out to the Tennessee Vols, winning the SEC basketball tournament, SEC baseball tournament, and the SEC soccer tournament, the first team in program, first team in conference history to win all three tournaments in one season.
I loved it, Joe Gaither. I'm a big Tennessee baseball
Boo.
Guy. Big Tennessee baseball
no.
guy over here.
No.
Only baseball, though.
You're fired.
Only baseball.
Why do
I'm
you like them?
I'm riding the bandwagon. I like Drew Gilbert. He's a funny guy. His Instagram name cracks me up. It's named Chili Goo Bear.
Is he the one with the funny mustache?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
The curly mustache.
Yeah, he's got the flow, the center fielder. Yeah.
Wait, so you just like him because the funny mustache?
Yeah. And him, and they got another guy who's got a beard who's kind of brings attention to people.
But
too.
You're not a beard guy. I mean,
look, I'm not. No.
Could you be if you wanted to? Or
probably not. No, it'll take me like. I haven't shaved in, 2 months, and it's...
Oh, you're all right. Yeah, you're doing fine.
I don't grow any facial hair,
now. That's good. That's
unfortunately,
good.
Unfortunately, no.
My beard game's pretty weak as well.
Your so mustache ain't bad either,
well,
though.
Well, it's nothing like the curly beard, man. Yeah. But Tennessee, like, come on. Here's the thing. Tennessee baseball this year, there was no weaknesses in that team. And to go off that conversation, it really was... Not upsetting, but disappointing. Disappointing to beat Tennessee in Knoxville, be the first team to beat Tennessee this year, break up their undefeated streak. And then after that, Alabama went ice cold after that. It was like, oh, we went all out and we beat the best team in the nation. And honestly, they are. It sucks for us, but they are. You beat the best team in the nation on that Friday night and then into the tank. I don't know. I don't have a good explanation for that.
Yeah, me either. It's kind of like basketball. They're the same way. We beat Gonzaga and Houston, and then we just fell off, dropped off the face of the earth. Same thing with baseball. We beat Tennessee, number one team in the nation. You expect us to ride that wave of momentum throughout the year, and nope. I think we dropped, what, 6, 7, 8 straight, something like that. Kind of unexplainable, and it's a little inexcusable as well.
So who's beating Tennessee? Because here's the thing. I got a buddy, lifelong buddy. You know, I'm from Chattanooga, so a lot of my buddies are Tennessee fans. I got a buddy who will let me hear. You know, he's probably never – he hasn't watched three pitches all year. That's how these Tennessee fans are. We're not going to watch any baseball, but, oh, now that we're good. Oh, I love the balls.
I love the balls.
Yeah, go baseball. You know, go strike them out. Home run, touchdown ball. You know, that's how they are, and that's why I cannot stand them, because they ain't paying attention to any baseball. They're just, oh, we're good. We're finally good. Okay, now I love them. Who's going to be the team? Can somebody knock them out of the national tournament?
Absolutely not. They will run the table for the first time ever, it seems like, in their sports history, and they will win the NCAA baseball tournament in Omaha. I think it'll be the first one ever, first major championship since I don't remember, 08 when they beat Memphis in basketball, I think.
That was Kansas.
Kansas beat them. Never mind.
No, it's okay. Because I won a lot of money off that Kansas game. As a high school senior, I had way too much money on Memphis just aside or on Kansas in that game. And, you know, Memphis was that unbeatable team. They had Chris Douglas Roberts and Derrick Rose and
I can't remember the last time they won a championship. Tennessee did in anything.
1998, boy. Oh, gosh. 98 with Fat Phillip Fulmer, Peerless Price.
Peyton was there, wasn't he?
Peyton had just left. Oh, gosh. Who was? I'm not sure who. I cannot. The offensive coordinator guy. His name is like right on the tip of my tongue. T-Martin. Okay, I was right there. He went off and coached at USC, coached at all kinds of places. T-Martin led them to that national title, Hunter Brantley. Our producer extraordinaire, Mason Woods, telling me last time Tennessee was in the College Baseball World Series, was in the final, was 1951. So it's been a
first
while.
First title since 1951.
But you know what? Breaking all these Dagum Balls fans, you know what they're going to say? I remember I was there in 51. Our team was so good.
They lost that year, for the record. They lost in 51. They were the runner-up.
Well, good.
So they've never won.
I hope they have massive heartbreak because, I honestly, pull back the curtain, I hate them. I hate them. With a deep – I hate
they're
them.
They're the terrorists to you and everything.
I cannot stand them. And I try not to have hate in my heart. If you got hate in your heart, let it out. But, oh, my gosh, I cannot stand the Tennessee Vols. Why don't we take a break right here, Hunter? We're a little past our break. When we come back, I want to talk about the NBA playoffs. I want to talk about Celtics and Heat and the way it finished, but I want to try to tie it into Alabama a little bit for all our listeners. So keep it locked into Off the Edge. This is Tide 100.9. It's the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
You've probably seen their clothing around town on game days, but check out Christopher Mobley on the Strip. It's luxury game day apparel redefined. It's the only place in town where you can find Tide Hoops apparel. Clothing designed for the modern day entrepreneur, golf enthusiast, and athleisure fanatic. They've got Peter Millar, Fiore, Grayson, and Mizzen & Main. And if you haven't tried the Mizzen & Main dress shirts, you've got to. You can find them at 1410 University Boulevard on the Strip. Also, they've got a great e-commerce site at ChristopherMobley.shop. So check out Christopher Mobley, luxury game day apparel redefined.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and hot today. Tuscaloosa's high 91. Fair tonight with the low at 69. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 92. Thursday, partially sunny, a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms during the day, the high at 89. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
We aren't going anywhere. Off the Edge is available in the podcast center on Tide100.9.com.
Welcome back to Off the Edge right here on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. Joe Gaither, Mason Woods, and Hunter Brantley all hanging out with you guys. As Nick Saban was just recently at the podium for SEC spring meetings. We'll get into that in the next segment after I can kind of sort of read some of this stuff. My friend Nick Kelly, you can find him on Twitter @_NickKelly, is tweeting about it. He's down there it looks like he got a prime seat. Actually, he's behind Joey Blackwell, so Joey Blackwell got the best seat. So, you know, we'll get into that, into some of the things that Coach Saban said here in just a little bit. But let's go back to the weekend, because, you know, it was a wild weekend, a long weekend. Hunter Brantley missed all the sports. He was out on a boat with many, many women, you know. So,
oh, for sure.
Congratulations.
Three supermodels, yeah.
Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Invite me next time. Appreciate that.
For sure.
So over the weekend, we saw a game seven between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. And unfortunately for our friend Keith Askins, Alabama Sports Hall of Famer, the Miami Heat were defeated. Lost by four is what I believe the final margin ended up with the fouls, with the final foul, four or five. Jimmy Butler had a great game, and basically the only reason that Miami Heat were in the game, and he opted to take a three-point shot with 15 seconds left. He was wide open, but it was rushed. He was kind of coming down in transition. He might have benefited from taking a half second pause and collecting himself for that shot. Obviously, three pointers are not really his specialty, but he could have made it absolutely with maybe just a half a deep breath there. But that's not really the concept I want to get into and talk about. It is if you want to jump in and talk about it, 205-342-9904. But what I want to talk about is Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, basically the best player on the Boston Celtics. He won the Larry Bird MVP trophy, first year they've given out an MVP for the conference finals, which I think is very weird. Good job, you won the conference finals. Who cares? But you won the Larry Bird MVP trophy. But the weird thing about it to me is Celtics green, you know, diehard Celtic, this, that, and the other. And my man Jason Tatum is wearing a purple and gold Kobe Bryant armband throughout the game. Now, to set it up, Kobe and Jason Tatum, prior to Kobe's death, reportedly had a very, very strong relationship. And, you know, mentor-mentee relationship. I'm going to teach you, train you, that sort of thing. And Jason Tatum looked up to Kobe Bryant. I got no issues with any of that. That's great. We all have our heroes. We all have our mentors. And super, super great that you have had a great relationship with Kobe Bryant. And really, really sad and really unfortunate that Kobe Bryant passed away at a very young age. Absolutely tragic. But here's the thing. The Lakers-Celtics rivalry is like one of the biggest rivalries in sports. I know you all love Alabama and Auburn, and I know that people who like to say, oh, Ohio State and Michigan, I'll sit here and tell you about Bears-Packers. Yankees, Red Sox, you got Celtics and Lakers right in that class. Everybody, I mean, it just depends on who you like. Carolina, Duke, it just depends on which rivalry resonates with you the most. But all those rivalries are basically in that class of best rivalry in sports. You don't wear purple and gold with your daggum green uniform. You want to honor Kobe Bryant, I get that. You're wearing your black Mamba shoes, the Kobe Bryant shoes, that are black.
That's good enough, That's good enough. Get a tattoo, get the logo on your arm, which is what I was thinking about doing. But don't wear that. As a Lakers fan, that would make me want to just throw up. As a Celtics fan, same thing. Just, you cannot match those two colors. It's like matching crimson and red or crimson and white and orange and blue for Auburn. Not a good look at all.
Exactly. You're already wearing the man's shoes to honor him. Great. Awesome. Good choice. They're black. They're going to match with you, whatever your uniform is. There's nothing wrong with that. Your uniform, all the uniforms have that 24 tag on them to kind of honor Kobe Bryant. That's great. No problem. That tag is black and white just so it matches with all the uniforms in the league. Perfect. No big deal. But you're like, imagine Bryce Young rocking an orange 16 armband because he likes Peyton Manning, because he and Peyton Manning are close, or something of the like. You said it, Jahmyr Gibbs. If Jahmyr Gibbs
wearing a Bo Jackson,
yes,
arm sleeve or something like that,
Bo knows this or something, you know. What I was preparing to do in our group, in my little group chat that I'm in. If the Celtics had lost that game, I was going to go really, really lowbrow, really low-hanging fruit and say, it's because of the armband. The Lakers cursed him. It's because of the and obviously,
it's the Kobe curse.
And obviously, like, that's really lowbrow, and that's not very, like, well thought out. But that's how sports fans are.
Oh, yeah.
If Bryce Young,
ask the Cubs fans about it.
Yes.
108 years.
If Bryce Young wears an armband with Peyton Manning's, like, colors and logo on it, every time he throws an interception, the Crimson Tide fans, it's because of that dadgum Tennessee armband he's wearing. It's because that Tennessee. And no, it wouldn't be because of the armband. But you give credence to the mouth breathers. You give credence to the cavemen who are, let's be honest, the Boston sports fans who are not always known to be very nice.
Some of the meanest in the game, for sure.
Yes.
No doubt about it. Them in Philly.
You give them a reason to basically go in on you. And I'm sorry, like, good job, you won the game.
But if he would have lost, who?
So it's a bad
amount of rage that they would have had for him.
You got to think, like, is there not a longtime Celtics equipment manager somewhere around? Is there not a, because, you know, basketball coaching turnover turns over every 2 to 3 years. People, mm-hmm. You get turned over unless you're championship winning coach like Steve Kerr or something like that. You get turned over. So, like, these organizations at the base level may not be having, you know, that longtime equipment manager. But where the heck was Danny Ainge?
That's what I'm saying.
The general manager saying, you know what? Don't wear that on the
Please
court.
Please, to God, do not wear that purple and gold out here on this court.
What?
Wearing a Celtics jersey.
It made me baffled. Now, like, ultimately, does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. You can wear pink and green. You wear whatever the heck colors you want. But it just struck me as, like, what are you doing, man? I just couldn't grasp and wrap my head around it. And then on top of that, the secondary thing is, Jason Tatum, you're a little bit look at me in this sense. You go out and you win the game. Great. Good job. Congratulations. No hate. You go out and win the game. You have a really good series. Good job. You've now defeated the Bucks. You defeated the Heat. You defeated – who was the third team they defeated?
Raptors,
The Nets. So they basically took down – they took down KD and Kyrie. They took down Giannis. No Middleton there. And then they took out the Heat. Heat culture, great, great franchise, great organization. So you've taken down three basically giants in the Eastern Conference. But I don't know. And maybe this is just me being weird. But he's – text messages the phone number, the reported phone number that, you know, that in his phone is contact is Kobe Bryant. Now, we all know Kobe's passed away, and that phone number's probably defunct, or it might just be sitting somebody sitting in a drawer somewhere.
Yeah.
And he texts him, "Oh, I did it for you." Okay, that makes you feel good on the inside. I get that.
It's a good story. It's a cool story. It makes you warm and fuzzy inside. But.
Right, because I've done things just for me. But here's where I think it's look at me. You screenshot it and you put it on Instagram,
yeah.
like for some sort of like recognition, like I'm still texting Kobe Bryant. Like, no, the heck, like, I'm sorry. Let's operate in reality here. You're not.
That's probably the first time he's texted that phone number in like 2 years, maybe longer than that.
Exactly. So I don't know. Jason Tatum, congratulations on getting to the conference finals or getting to the finals, the NBA finals. You know, you've been in the league for a while. Obviously, the group of Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart, you know, have been stopped at the conference finals for many years in a row. Great job. You got over that hump. But you just struck me as very me, look at me with my purple armband and look at my text messages and I don't know. We all, like, honestly, the basketball world right now. I'll be honest. I'm not really a Kobe lover like that. But many people are. The massive,
for sure.
The massive, you know, majority is idolizing Kobe Bryant. That's great, and especially in the basketball world, they are. Like, you don't got to be doing all that, man. You don't got to be doing all that.
He might wear a Kobe Bryant jersey to game one against the Warriors, or might change his number to 24. Who knows?
If he comes out, yeah, What are you going to do in the next game? You're going to be the only guy out there with a Lakers jersey on?
Or change your number to 824 or something like that. Wear a Lakers shirt under your Boston jersey. Something like that. I don't know.
You're just giving the Boston fans a reason to hate on you. And you know, I've got a Celtics fan who's in my group chat, who's very, very mature, and who's like, oh, I don't care about that. And great, he's very mature. But the average fan is nuts. Let me just tell you, if Justin Fields comes out next year wearing a green and yellow armband with a 12 on it to honor Aaron Rodgers, or a four to honor Brett Favre, I'm gonna lose my daggum mind. I will, and I know that that's immature, but I'm gonna lose my daggum mind. You don't have anything to do with that organization.
Exactly.
You don't have anything to do with that franchise. Do that in your own time. Honor your heroes in your own time.
Honor them off the court, on someone else's time, not ours. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. All right. Let's take a break right here, Hunter, unless you got another more points on that.
Oh, I'm good. All right. Said
we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll start scrolling your Twitter, Hunter. We'll find out what Nick Saban's been talking about down there at the SEC spring meetings, and we'll talk about that next on Off the Edge. This is Tide 100.9. It's the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
I can go from 0 to 60 way too fast.
Who knew electric vehicle owners were having so much fun?
20 or 30 years ago, I owned a gas sports car, and this car is much quicker.
It's a great, fun car to drive. When you put your foot on the accelerator, it just goes.
They're fun, they're fast, they're efficient.
Visit driveelectricalabama.com to learn how you can start having fun driving an electric vehicle.
Sponsored by the Alabama Clean Fuels Coalition, the ABA, and this station.
You're listening to Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into Off the Edge right here on Tide 100.9. Mason Woods, Hunter Brantley, and Joe Gaither hanging out for just another 20, 25 minutes or so until Jay Barker and crew take over. Hope everybody had a great and happy Memorial Day weekend, relaxing Memorial Day weekend. Hunter Brantley on a boat with supermodels. Mason Woods flying. What were you doing? You were skiing down the mountains in Denver, right? Is there still snow on the mountains, right?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's what you were doing. So everybody enjoying their – what was I doing? I was trying to get down to Destin to put a bug in this room is what I was trying to do. Unfortunately, the SEC, the security kept me out. I was unable to smack my little recorder underneath the table. So sorry for the Tide 109 audience. We don't have that insider audio like I wanted. But anyways, Nick Saban and company, everybody has now, looks like had some time in front of the podium. Nick Saban and company talking at the SEC spring meetings. Nick Saban, quote, "I think that boosters should continue to be precluded from recruiting, including use of NIL offers prior to enrollment." Another quote, "I have no problem with Jimbo at all." This is coming from Mike Rodak. Nick Saban, after being asked directly about his evidence about Texas A&M buying their class, he said, "I didn't say anything. Anybody did anything wrong, and I've said everything I'm going to say about this." So Nick Saban with a little foot and mouth disease.
He didn't lie though when he said it. His original comments. He didn't lie about it when he said it about them paying people.
But what evidence does he have when he said they bought every player on their roster?
I mean, this is just looking at it from a distance. you cannot tell me you can't go 8-4 and then have 8 5 stars in the next recruiting class without giving some sort of compensation. Just looking at it from the outside point of view.
So you're guessing?
That's what. Yeah, he's just hypothesizing, I guess, thinking about it.
Hunter, do you know how many of the total recruits in their 2023 class are from Texas?
How many?
Over half of them.
You don't think
they want money too, though?
You don't think they were inspired by beating Alabama?
8-4 does not inspire me. I'm sorry, it doesn't.
You don't think that Jimbo sold him a bill of goods about beating Alabama?
Absolutely not, no. Because they went 8-4 though. Like, what does that do? What does beating Alabama do for you other than being like, hey, bragging rights, we beat Alabama, but we went 8-4. Well, and we didn't get to go to a bowl game.
But Nick Saban said they bought every recruit in their class.
That part's not true. That part's not true. But some of them, yes, some of them, but not all 23, 24 of them.
Exactly. Nick Saban is just a whiny little baby is what it is.
He's mad. He's upset. He's upset he didn't get the number one recruiting class. And I didn't like how he went after Deion Sanders and Travis Hunter. I mean, the coach ain't even making $1 million, and he's going to say, yeah, that guy got $1 million to go to Jackson State. Like, low.
Here's
that's
the thing. A low ball. It sounds like Nick Saban is advocating for federal. Where did I see that from Nick Kelly? Oh, my guy, Nick. Here we go. Look, sounds like he's advocating. Saban said there may be some reason for a federal government to create some standard in NIL. Let me tell you this. The federal government's got enough on its hands than getting involved with college football. The federal government needs to, not to take this off the rails, but they've got a gun problem they need to address. And obviously, that's probably paramount than NIL. Here's the thing. I was talking to some of my buddies last night about international soccer, about Premier League soccer, and the way that some of these teams, Manchester City, Paris Saint-Germain, Chelsea, are spending money and where they got their money from and how, you know, some of their money has come from wealthy oil investors and some of their money has come from, you know, wealthy Russian billionaires, this, that, and the other. So the older clubs, Liverpool, Manchester United, you know, Bayern Munich, have been upset that new money is coming in and basically competing. And so, you know, what happens in FIFA is the FIFA creates some rules about, oh, you can only spend X amount of dollars and it has to come from legitimate
like
sources.
A salary cap,
so, essentially,
salary cap.
Sort of. They call it financial fair play laws. And so what happens then? Well, Manchester City breaks those rules. They're spending more and more money and, you know, everybody's like, oh, they're breaking the rules. Well, Manchester City's competitiveness is good for the overall sport. And what happens? Manchester City pays a little fine, and they keep going about their business. There's no real punishments here. That's exactly what's going on with the NCAA. There's not going to be any real punishments here. Now, my buddy who's a Liverpool fan is like, well, we should be spending this money. We have it. We've built up the club over 100 years, and we actually have it. It's in the bank. We can just turn around and start spending at the same rate. And I said, well, do it. Just do
exactly.
It. There's no punishment here. So, you know, everybody talking about, oh, the NCAA needs to come down. The NCAA has made some rules. The NCAA has made some guardrails. What, 2 weeks ago they re-emphasized their guardrails. But Texas A&M don't care. Miami don't care. USC doesn't care. They're going to start operating in this gray space that has been created by NIL. And so Nick Saban, quit crying and break out the daggum checkbook.
Exactly.
Like, let that. You either get on board or get out. And I'm not. I'm hoping he gets on board because I don't want him to get out. I want to make that point clear. But basically, the rules of the game have changed. Alabama, the old guard, the longtime program, the prestige, one of the best programs in college football, right up there. Like,
it's an even playing field now, and he's upset about that.
Of course. So
part of the reason.
So the new money comes in and starts upsetting the apple cart, upsetting some of the powers that be, Clemson's, Ohio State's, Oklahoma's, and Alabama. Oh, don't be upset about it. The rules have changed. There's no there are no
and it's all legal.
Exactly.
Go crazy. go stupid.
I mean, exactly. So Nick Saban, just I love you. You're the greatest college football coach that's ever lived, and I love what you've done for this university and for this city and for me specifically. But my man's like, wake up and get with the times, because Jimbo's not going away.
It's not 2010 not, anymore.
Right. They're not going away. And the federal government, you want to rely on a federal government to create some standard in NIL? Well, we're going to be waiting for 10 years for that.
Exactly.
And coach, if you got 10 years left, great. Love it. Give me 20 years. But we're going to be waiting for 10 years for some sort of standard and some sort of guardrails. And then on top of that, if there are standards and guardrails, who's going to enforce them? Who's enforcing the rules? Is the college football playoff going to keep A&M out of the playoff year if they're, what, 12-0 or 14-0 or whatever the case may be? No.
No. And you brought up financial fair play. Talking about FIFA and all that. On the flip side, Major League Baseball, they don't have a salary cap, and no one's complaining about the Dodgers like, oh, my God, they got Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts. It's like, okay, so what? We got good players, too. We can spend money. Yankees, same thing. They spend a lot of money on their guys, and it's who cares, you know? Like, same thing with Nick Saban. If you want to spend the money, but don't be like, oh, I can't believe A&M. They're buying all these players and all that. Just do it. I mean, it's legal. You know, have fun with it.
I mean, the Major League Baseball is a great example because you've got teams like the Dodgers and the Yankees who have spent major money over basically the course of their entire franchise. But these are your champions: Braves, Dodgers, Nationals, Red Sox, Astros, Cubs, Royals, Giants, Red Sox, Giants, Cardinals, Giants. So, like, you're getting different champions almost every year. The last Yankees title was in 09. Yankees, Phillies, Red Sox, Cardinals, White Sox, Red Sox, Marlins, Angels. Like, you have different champions pretty much every single year.
And when
year.
The Dodgers won, that was the first time since 85, I think.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Yes. And so you want to, you know, when you want to mix up the sport, you want to, you know, make it more interesting for the national audience. I know here in Tuscaloosa, we don't care about that. We just want Alabama to roll over everybody 56-0. But you want to make the sport bigger and better for the national audience, which means more money,
more ratings,
more money, ratings. And more money coming into this university in this town. Then, you know, this is not a bad thing. This is not a bad thing overall as a concept. And Coach Saban talking about, oh, we want to keep the boosters out of it. We want to keep, you know, keep it pure. Well, here's the thing. If NIL doesn't work, these players aren't going to not get paid. They're just going to take it out of the university's ass.
Exactly.
They're going to they're basically going to have to negotiate.
Like the cars they're getting, the Chargers and the Mustangs and all that.
They're going to basically be coming out of the university. They're going to say, oh, well, if you're going to take it away from the boosters, if you're going to take away the collectives, well, we're still getting paid, and we got to get paid by you. And so use these daggum boosters to basically cover your expenses, cover your bills, because they want to pay for it, because they want to be involved in the program, and they want to feel good about themselves. They want to, you know, make the Alabama footballs and the Texas A&M footballs their shiny little toy that they can be involved in. Let them be involved in it. Save your money and invest it in other ways.
And some of these players aren't the best financially stable coming out of high school, if you remember. Some of them, you know, I think there was a guy who played basketball my dad was telling me about who came off, hopped off the bus. All he had was one pair of shoes, and that's it. So it ain't like they got it made where they're coming from. They need all the money they can get.
I think people are just afraid of change, Hunter.
I agree.
But the winds of change are upon us.
It's changing.
Before we get 100%. Out of here, we're going to wrap up in this segment. I want to break some news to everybody. That Jerry Judy's Jerry Judy's harassment is kind of what it was. It was harassment with the domestic violence enhancer has been officially dismissed by the judge. So that's very great news for Jerry Judy.
It's just worth noting, this is off of the same tweet from Tom Pelissero that broke that. He says, it's worth noting that Jerry Judy, while he won't face any criminal charges, he still potentially could face some punishment from the NFL. So it's kind of still up in the air whether he's going to, you know, if anything's going to happen to him or not.
Yeah, NFL has their own personal conduct policy where they can determine, you know, punishment. But it seems like with some of the details that have come out about this case, no physical violence, just kind of an argument over property, an argument over, you know, documents and things like that, argument over a cell phone. I would be very surprised if the NFL came out. The NFL's got a bigger punishment to decide than Jerry Judy's.
With Deshaun Watson.
Exactly. They need to put – honestly, I need to put Deshaun Watson under the league. Obviously, he's not been convicted of anything criminal, but facing 22 counts of some sort of sexual misconduct.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you should not be playing ridiculous. This year at all.
Maybe the year after that.
Sure. I mean, that's a serious situation that people really need to take more stock into. And really, I feel like the Browns are just like, and to build off that, piggyback off that, the Baker Mayfield thing. People talk about, oh, where's Baker Mayfield going to play? He's going to play for the Browns next year because he's going to play for all the games that Deshaun Watson
guarantee he's going to start. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. is sitting for. So, you know, lots of great fun from this weekend in sports. Hunter, one more thing before we get out of here. Did you see the qualifiers for the college softball World Series?
I did, and Oklahoma looks like they're going to run in the table again.
SEC only getting one qualifier, and it being the Florida Gators, not Arkansas, obviously not Alabama. It's Florida being the school to carry the SEC banner into College World Series. So I guess
best of luck to them.
I guess good luck to them. I don't know. I'm not. I'll ask you. Are you one of those? I mean, I guess you are pulling for Tennessee. Are you one of those pull for the conference guys?
No, not Florida. But I'll pull for Tennessee baseball just because of one guy, and that is Drew Gilbert. Yeah. Drew Gilbert, Chili Goober.
I think before you leave today, we need to drug test you.
Just for saying, I like Tennessee baseball and Drew Gilbert.
Yes,
just that.
Yes,
one guy.
I mean, that orange and white. It's infectious. It's disgusting. You can't have it. You get it. You know, you let it a little bit into your system. It starts spreading and growing.
You see that guy who was on SEC Network? I said I just hate Alabama. He was wearing an Auburn shirt and a Tennessee hat.
Hey, he was a nut.
Cringiest thing I've seen.
Yeah, you ever cheered for another team's like gear just because you hate their opponent that much?
Have you?
No.
Never do that.
No, I might wear like if I were going to a game where the Packers were playing, I would probably try to gear up in the home team's uniform.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, like
I do that for the Saints or the Bucks, something like that.
Yeah, cannot stand the Green Bay Packers and Tennessee baseball. Anyways, that's gonna do it for us on Off the Edge. Hunter, thanks for hanging out with me, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Where do they find you out on the social medias?
You can follow me on Twitter at HunterBrantley8.
HunterBrantley8. I'm at JoeGaither6. MasonWoods_? MAWoods_? One of those will work for you.
MAWoods_.
MAWoods_. That's the trio. That's our trio on social media. And follow the Tide 109 account at Tide109. You can find out all the programming updates, all the follow all our reporters in the field as they go out to different things. That's where we put our SEC baseball tournament stuff. But we're kind of done with reporting for about a month or two. Going into off season for us, I'm going to go hibernate and then wake up and it'll be football season. Hibernate for 96 days and wake up ready for the Alabama Crimson Tide to roll over Utah State. Jay Barker Show is coming up next. This is Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and hot today, Tuscaloosa's high 91. Fair tonight with a low at 69. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 92. Thursday, partially sunny, a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms during the day, the high at 89. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Off the Edge on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for live streams and instant analysis. Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues.